This is Drone Zone at EAA Radio. We're back here with Matt and Ben, and we have a text question, and it's an excellent one. What kind of drones are public safety predominantly using?
I'm so glad you asked.
Yes.
Typically, they're using DJI equipment. DJI, as you guys know, is about 80% market share right now, and there's one sitting right here on the table. but they really make the best equipment for the price. I mean, I think there's some really good stuff out there that's not DJI. But to be honest, most people can't afford it. Lockheed makes a great bird. Ariane makes a great bird. I mean, we're talking north of $40,000-$50,000 for these things.
Yeah.
So typically DJI, and then within the DJI product line, it's kind of all over the map. So if you need all the guns out, you're talking about the Matrice 210. We can put thermal on there. We can put zoom on there. It's weather resistant, fly 50-mile-an-hour winds. In fact, we actually do some work for the Weather Channel, and Ben actually flew in Hurricane Irma last year.
Irma. We think we were the first drone to broadcast live from the eye of a hurricane.
Nice. Yeah.
Well, this is the year of the hurricane hunter. So
we talked to those guys actually already.
I did see a video of the Matrice 210, and they said it was 45-mile-an-hour sustained wind, and it was just hanging like this.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's amazing. I mean, it's really amazing to watch. And then it's water resistant, so you can fly it in the rain, and and the cameras are too. Or some of them cameras
heated
are.
Batteries. I heard right.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Self insulated. Yeah. So I mean, that's kind of the workhorse. It's also pretty expensive as well too. So if you're looking for something smaller, we also have guys using Sparks and Mavics and things like that. Because especially if you're talking about like a SWAT situation or a hazmat situation, you want something tiny you can fly into a window, through a window, not into a window.
Yeah.
Something like that is really useful for them.
I've seen a lot of Mavics used for bridge inspections. They're small enough to come up in between the girders and such like that.
Yeah.
And the Matrice is hardened for radio.
The Matrice is super hardened. Myself, I fly drones to do tower inspections and things like that for my broadcast engineering firm. And I've found that actually the Mavic Pro, because of OcuSync, it can handle the RF a whole lot better than the Phantoms and the Inspires and everything else. So I travel with that guy in my car absolutely everywhere I go.
It's a great aircraft.
Add the goggles onto that. So I fly the drone up the tower, and one of my engineers has the goggles flying the camera, and he's looking around, taking pictures, starting video as I'm scanning the tower.
And the other cool thing about the 210 is you can actually put a camera on the top too.
That's a good point.
Yeah, so we really like that. And then, there's all kinds of other stuff out there that we're using now. So, there's some custom lights that are out there. We have a tethering system, which is awesome. So if you're at a hostage situation or a fire that's going to be raging for hours, you can put it on the tethering system, leave it up for 14 hours and never have to change it.
And Matt, what's the big question we get from everybody now as far as...
Oh, right, the dream scenario?
Yeah.
Right, so the dream scenario is you call 911 and there's a problem. A dispatcher hits a button and a drone takes off from the police department or the fire department and flies out ahead of the guys, and so they can see it coming in. Of course, the FAA is not real keen on that right now, and it'd be on line of sight. But if Amazon is going to be able to do it in theory at some point, hopefully the fire department will be able to.
You know, that is one of the topics that we're going to talk about with our guy from the FAA, because the UAS Integration Pilot Program is starting to work on those exact things. Whether it was there seven organizations that got...
It's a little bit of a sore subject with us because Georgia didn't win, and we were part of that group. But it's okay.
We tried.
We'll forgive them.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned Google.
Yeah.
Amazon. I'm sorry, Amazon didn't win.
No, I know.
Yeah. I guess if Amazon can't get it,
right?
You can't
right. Right. Yeah. No hope for Skyfire. Yeah.
Okay, so this is what's going on today. Let's try and look into the crystal ball as best you can. I know this industry moves at a ridiculous pace, but what are the things that are kind of on the cusp of, we think that we can someday very soon be able to do this, or new gear or new capabilities?
Battery life.
Yeah.
That's number one right now. I think we're going to start seeing some stuff here pretty soon about that too, because we really maxed out on these LiPo batteries at about 15 to 20 minutes per battery. So I think we're going to start. We know of a company right now that's working on developing using existing technology, trying to take these LiPos to like 60, 90 minutes, even up to 120 minutes right now.
So. I had heard that the people had originally thought that the fuel cell technology would be applicable. But you can get a lot of storage, but you can't get the fast output of a LiPo.
Yeah, well, you know, it's interesting. I was about to mention that next. We are working with a company there as well, too. We're under NDA on a lot of this stuff. But they're developing a fuel cell for some of the DJI aircraft, and they're getting, you know, over an hour and a half on some of these drones, too. And so
they can get enough output out of them.
They can, yeah. Okay. And they're drop testing them, too, because everybody's so afraid hydrogen tanks are just going to blow up.
Right.
But we actually, what's cool about our job is, you know, we're not a drone store, right? So we get we're always looking for the latest and greatest, and people want to work with us. So we're actually doing some consulting for the CDC on how to, you know, move blood samples across long distances and look for pools of water where mosquitoes might be growing, you know, so that they can prevent dengue and things like that. Mm-hmm. So we've got all kinds of interesting projects, and, you know, commercial off-the-shelf stuff by itself isn't going to cut it for some of the stuff. So
purpose-built machines.
Right, exactly. Yeah, we're taking existing machines and layering on things like that. The other thing I would add, too, is that I think, you know, AI is going to make a huge appearance on the scene here pretty soon, too. So, you know, taking your video feed and layering artificial intelligence over it to improve search and rescue technology rather than a guy. We know a guy who does search and rescue, and he's like, I literally sit there and look at the screen. I'm looking for little dots or little thermal signatures. But the computer can do a lot of that for you. So, you know, having software do that for you, RFID tracking by drones, you know, there's all kinds of stuff.
And the big one right now, especially from public safety, that they're wanting is streaming technology.
Mm-hmm.
The ability to stream, you know, directly to an emergency operations center, have certain people be able to log in. And that's something that there are some products out there that are doing it pretty well, but that you know, it's kind of taken a while to get to that point. But I think we're kind of finally there with some of those products.
That's back into my world engineering ways of getting media out.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and it's been a struggle.
Yeah.
It really has. So
I was shocked that the Facebook Live function out of DJI actually worked. I was like, no way.
Yeah.
That's
difficult to walk into a fire department say, hey, here's Facebook Live or you know, YouTube to, you know, for your emergency operations.
You know, we don't want anybody knowing what we're doing while it's happening. Maybe later, but
it kind of proves the point that there's enough of that technology. Now you just need to make the leap outside of that proprietary type system. So any other like good tech toys that you can imagine here?
Oh man, you know, in addition to you know, augmented reality, I mean, in addition to you know, some of the stuff AI that I was talking about, the augmented reality stuff is super cool too. So Epson makes the Moverio glasses, and you can actually like visually see your flight path up in the air.
Wow.
As you're doing search and rescue, you can drop pins and all kinds of cool stuff. So we're working with them on some cool stuff. You know, and then the AR and firefighting in and of itself is pretty cool. I mean, these guys have helmets now with thermal cameras in them. They can literally like just walk in. It's like, you know, out of Predator or something. They're walking in and seeing through walls and all kinds of cool stuff. So.
My local fire department just got that as well. They have they have this little thermal camera built into the helmet.
It's really
amazing.
Slick.
So that's the push.
Yep.
Now let me briefly, as we wrap this up, talk about the pull. And that is the world of regulations and what we can and can't do and can and can't get away with and concerns over privacy and issues like that. What are the barriers that you have to try and overcome to try and make this happen? Or what are the things that you see that could be a barrier that we want to try and get in front of?
Well, this is a question for Ben because he's our FAA expert, but I wanted to say this first, and I'm not just saying this to kiss up. As somebody who came into this from outside the aviation world, I expected the FAA was just going to be a stone wall for us. I mean this. They have been absolutely nothing but super helpful for us. So I'll let you take it from there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're great to work with. Mm-hmm. And I think that with how fast this technology has evolved, I mean, it's been difficult, you know, I think, to regulate it, and especially with, you know, the way the airspace, and this is something that we talk a lot about in these training classes that we do, the freedom that we enjoy with the airspace in this country, I think means that, you know, it's going to be a little bit more restrictive on the drone side than we want maybe at first. But I think, you know, the FAA has done a really good job of making sure that, you know, they're bringing it in appropriately.
Well, and frankly, there are some people that, you know, the FAA would not love to be flying drones constantly in the airspace. Mm-hmm. Public safety does not fall into that category. They're very pro public safety using drones. They understand this is important technology.
Yeah, there are mechanisms for agencies to get certification outside of Part 107.
Sure.
So, you know, certificates of authorization.
And I think the general public would probably have the same opinion to say that we would love to have our public safety have all of this freedom to be able to do stuff, but you have to do so in a way that is not also creating a problem when I open that same thing up to everybody else. And trying to find those lines, I'm sure is a challenge that I definitely wouldn't want to try and take on. But that's the moment that we're living in right now, is how do we split the rights and abilities of the hobbyist and the public safety function and the commercial function and the general aviation and commercial aviation all into this same box.
Well, one of the interesting things, and Ben sort of just alluded to it, is there's a special process for public safety to get authorized. So they have what's called the Certificate of Authorization. It essentially delegates the operation of the program to the public safety agency. And the FAA says, look, we're concerned with public safety. We know you are too. We're going to let you guys run with this under certain restrictions, of course. But that's kind of what we specialize in, is these certificates of authorization. And Ben's written more than just about anybody in the country. It's a process for sure, but we've cracked the nut on it. So we really encourage people to reach out to us if they have questions about it. And we always say we don't charge you unless you buy something. So we'll talk to you about it all day long.
And just to add on to that, I would say reach out to the FAA. The FAA has been nothing but helpful to us and the people that we work with.
Well, that's fantastic to hear.
As we wrap this up, let's talk a little bit about you and where to find you. So first of all, if you're here on the grounds, where are you?
UAV Showcase, booth D7.
Gotcha. And that's in the Aviation Gateway Park area by the Innovation Pavilion.
Find the drone cage. And we're just
good point.
Yes. Just inside the door.
Yep. And now, after the show, where do we find you?
Easiest way is skyfireconsulting.com. We're on Facebook. We're on Twitter. You know, that's the best way to find us. info@skyfireconsulting.com. We're all over the place. And one other quick thing I want to add here, because this is my pet project. We're selling Christmas ornaments this year. We joined up with Sporty's to create these because they make those great resin models. So we're now selling Christmas ornaments that look like little phantoms. And all the proceeds are going to go to fire and police charities.
Get them
at our website.
Put me down for one.
You got it.
All right. Hey, thanks for joining us. We've been talking with Matt Sloan and Ben Kroll of Skyfire Consulting. And this is EAA Radio.